So tonight, Acts chapter number 3, we're going to be in verses 1 through 10. Very familiar scripture, very familiar event in the Bible, man. Probably one of the first messages I preached, probably within the first 5 or 6 messages I preached, I went to Acts chapter number 3 because I just love the way that this is written. I love the way that it is worded in God's Word. A lot of encouragement, a lot of just seeing the awesome power of God. But tonight we're going to look at it again. Hey, I tell you, people all the time, the Bible is full of things, and I preach some of them 2 and 3 times, and I've got some favorite scriptures and favorite stories in here that I go to quite often, but, you know, I like pizza, too, and I go back to Pizza Hut all the time. You know, I just keep going back and keep going back, and sometimes I get a different flavor, and sometimes I get the same thing, but I always enjoy it, and tonight I hope we enjoy Acts chapter number 3. I hope not only do we enjoy it, but I hope it'll speak to you as it spoke to me as I read it this afternoon. Verse number 1, chapter number 3. Bible says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms? Now as we study this, and as we look at this man that they took, and they have laid him at the Beautiful gate, and the people are walking by and going to the temple, no doubt in my mind, there's a lot of these people who are churchy. A lot of these people who are doing what they are supposed to be doing. We're going down to the temple, we're worshiping, we're doing what we're supposed to do, and they never even pay any attention. Sure, they see him. Sure, they know that he's sitting there. They may even hear him as he is sitting there at the gate called Beautiful, but they walk by, and some of them probably might have even thrown a quarter, might have thrown a penny, might have thrown a dollar or whatever, and felt like, man, I done a good thing. And they go on their way, and they go on into the temple, and they do whatever they're doing, and they've got to the place that, man, they just barely even notice that he's there any longer. He's not a very desirable person to be around because obviously he's got to be carried, he's got to be laid somewhere every single day, and he's there begging alms, he's there begging money, and man, that's just not the kind of person that we're looking to be around. The Bible tells us that in verse number 3, it says that this man, when he seen Peter and John about to go to the temple, he asked some money of them. How many times do we see people out here in this world, and we see them, and maybe y'all don't do this, but I'll tell you that sometimes your pastor does. You'll see them, and you'll say, oh man, that looks like that guy's going to ask me for something, and you'll take a quick right and go around. Or you'll see something, and this message is not necessarily on helping people financially or anything like that, but sometimes we see people and we know that they have a need, and yes, I know that sometimes that need is completely driven by their wrong decisions. I know that sometimes that need is driven by them turning away from God. That need has been driven by them making bad decisions and things in their life, and we just feel like that we should do our thing and take care of ourselves and our family and not really worry about that right now. But the Bible tells us that when he seen Peter and John and he asked money of them, I want you to look what Peter did. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, hey, look at us. Look up. Maybe this man had been doing this so long that he really didn't expect anybody to help him anyway. Because he was there every day. The Bible tells us that his family carried him out there and they laid him down so that he could sit there and beg. And he had been doing it so long, and he'd been asking the same people. He probably knew which 5 people was going to help him out every day. He probably knew which 10 people would give him a little something. Some, maybe there was 1 or 2 that actually would bring him something to eat. They wouldn't bring him money, but they would bring him something to eat, or whatever the case is. And he about knew, and he just got to where he wouldn't even pick up his head anymore, whether it be of shame, whether it be he was in that bad of a place, whatever it was, he wouldn't even pick up his head anymore. And Peter and John, when they stopped and he asked money of them, and Peter said, hey, look up here. Look up. You know what? I believe that sometimes there's people out here in this lost, dying world that they need help. Some of them are even asking for help. And they're really not expecting to receive help because even we as Christians have tightened ourselves up so much that we walk by, we don't see them, we don't recognize them, we don't recognize that they need to have a need. We won't even stop and say, hey, look at me. Look up here for just a minute. Hey, and I'm preaching to me tonight. I'm not preaching to y'all. Y'all just going to have to hear what God gave me. So as we walk by these people, and sometimes we know that they have a need, we know that there's a need in their life, and yet because we want to look into it and we want to be all smart about it, and we'll get into some of this here in just a minute, that they don't even expect to receive anything from us. Look in verse number 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, after Peter said, hey, look up here at us, all of a sudden, now the man's expectations have changed. All of a sudden, he don't think that there's somebody else just going to walk by. There's not somebody else that's just not really going to give anything that to care that he's there. They don't care anything about why he's there or anything else. But now that they said, hey, look up here at me, now all of a sudden, his expectations have changed. Verse number 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. I'm pretty sure that they were Baptists when they come out with that right there. I ain't got no money. You know what my favorite line is nowadays? Man, I ain't got no cash. And I start that patting myself down. Hey, I ain't got no cash. I don't carry cash anymore. But Peter and John said, hey, silver and gold have I none. I'm a Baptist. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Now we see that this guy received way more than what he was expecting. For just a few minutes tonight, I want us to look at our lives as Christians, not with your relationship with God for just a moment, but this does directly affect your relationship with God, but what is your relationship to lost people? What are we doing for lost people? Even as Fellowship Baptist Church, corporately, or as you as an individual, what are we doing to give lost people what they're really looking for? We know what they're asking for. They might be asking you, let's just get right down to it. They might be asking you for $40 for their next tie. They might be asking you for $5 for their next drink. They might be asking you, and they never ask for that. I don't understand that. It's $5 for food and this and that and power bill and everything else. And you know, so many times we've heard that, and I believe that we're supposed to be good stewards of our money, and we're not supposed to throw our money after the things of this world, and I completely understand that. I'm not saying just to go out here and start handing out $100 bills. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is we have become so hard-hearted toward that. We have got to the place, I have got to the place, that if they mention that they need $5 or something else, I don't look past what they're asking for and see what the real need is. The real need is a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. That's what the real need is. But yet I'm so tied up and hanging on to my $5 or my $40 or my whatever that I want to look at them and go, I can't help you. There's nothing, and you know what? Just as Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but let me tell you what you're really looking for. What you're really looking for is the ability to walk. What you're really looking for is to be able to get up and not have to sit here at this beautiful gate anymore. You want to go in through the gate. You want to go into the temple. You want to meet somebody that can really help you. And they picked him up, and the Bible tells us that his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he began to run and to leap and praise God. Hey, what a difference we can make in somebody's life. We have something that we can give them, and it don't have anything to do with what's in your billfold. It has to do what's within your heart, and his name is Jesus Christ, and we need to be handing him out. But listen, we need to give the world way more than what they're expecting. We need to be giving them something more than what they're asking for. We need to be giving them something more. Man, it was so, and if you look around, you can see different situations around us. It's so sad to see these young people who are making wrong decisions, who are making wrong choices, and their life is taking a left turn. Hey, they're already in a place they don't want to be. They may want to try to act like everything's okay, and man, it's just a party and everything's great. But if you get them by themselves and you ask them really and truly, is your life where you want it to be? If they'll be honest with you and not just try to be Mr. Or Miss Thing, then they'll look at you and say, no, my life is not where I want it to be. My life is not. Well, what are we doing as a church, as children of God, to help change that? What are we doing? You know what? We're not giving them what they're expecting, and we're sure not giving them more than they're expecting. Because I want to tell you what they expect now. We live in a church age where everything is twisted. Let me tell you what they really expect from the church anymore. See, the Bible tells us that after Peter and John said, hey, look on us, that this man looked up and he wasn't expecting to receive something. Here's what lost people expect from the church. They expect the church to be judgmental and condescending. They expect for Christian people to look at them and go, you're so wrong, you're so in sin, you're so bad. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, just as I say all the time, you take God's Holy Spirit out of me, you take the direction of God out of my life, and I could be exactly where every single one of them is, or worse. There is no reason for me to be judgmental or condescending to a lost and a dying world. Hey, it's easy for all of us to see, hey, you made a bad choice and look where you're at now. But I want to tell you something. One bad choice and I could be the same. One bad choice, you could be the same. The world is expecting Christians to be judgmental and condescending. I'm not talking about stop calling sin, sin. That's not what I'm talking about at all. The Bible calls sin, sin, and we as Christians, we need to call sin, sin. Hey, I'm so thankful. Let me put a note in here right quick. I'm so thankful for my church. The message that God gave me last Sunday was no fun to preach. That was not one that I come in and just meant, man, I'm excited to get in here and preach this. I'm going to give it. Hey, it was no fun to preach. But you would not believe the number of texts, the number of comments that I've got. Keep preaching the Word of God. Stand strong. I'm proud of you. Keep going. Man, that is so, I'm so glad to be part of a Bible-believing church that wants to stand with the Word of God, whether it hurts or whether it don't. Man, that is a blessing, and I'm thankful for that. I don't ever want us to stop calling sin, sin. I don't ever want us to stop saying, this is the true Word of God, and we're going to follow the Word of God. Never, never, ever stop doing that. But I tell you what we need to stop doing. We need to stop acting like we're better than anybody else. We need to stop like we've never had sin in our life. We need to stop acting like that there's something just so holy about us that we're going to heaven and probably everybody else ain't. And we need to quit being judgmental and condescending of sinners, because I'm so glad that God didn't give me the judgment that I deserved. They're expecting to receive judgment. They're expecting for us to be condescending. They're expecting us to look at us and look at them and say, I told you so. I told you this was what was going to happen. Hey, I can find a whole lot of places in here where God told me what was going to happen. I still chose my own path. But they're expecting us to look at them and go, yep, yep, that's what you done. Man, you done this, so you deserve that. And again, we've covered this several times in the past couple of weeks. I'm glad that I didn't get what I deserve. Amen? I'm glad that I got grace and mercy and love. But we need to be in a place when we look and we see lost people. Hey, Peter and John could have looked at this guy and judged him and been condescending of him. They could have told him all the wrong things that he had done. They could have told him what kind of shape he was in. Hey, you better turn before you burn. I mean, that's one of the favorite things that we love to say, right? But I want to tell you something. If we look at people without love in our hearts and tell them that they're going to hell, then we're in the wrong. The truth is that if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that when you stand before God, you will be guilty of your sins and you will go to hell. That's the truth. But if you can look at somebody and say that with a boastfulness about you, you better go home and check up with God. For us to want anybody to go to hell, for us to take some kind of happiness of somebody going to hell, we would be in the wrong place. The world is expecting us to be judgmental and condescending. They're expecting us to tell them that I told you so. They're expecting us to take a holier-than-thou attitude. Man, Lynn's been teaching on the truth the last time during the last month that he taught. And man, there's nothing like the truth. And this is the truth. And they're trying to take it and twist it and do everything else and say, man, is there really any truth? And there's nothing wrong, again, with standing on the truth. But there is something wrong when I take a holier-than-thou attitude. When I get to where I think, man, I'm living so close to God, and everybody else is way down here, and me and God's just communing. And the Bible tells me to be careful of my pride before, after pride comes a fall. Got to be really careful with that. When I take on that holier-than-thou attitude, man, if everybody was just like me, be careful. Don't be like me. You be like Jesus. It'll be just fine. But the world is expecting us to be holier-than-thou. You know what? These kids that are messed up on drugs, these kids that are messed up on pills, these kids who hadn't maybe had the opportunity to know about Jesus Christ that some of us have had, they don't need us to be judgmental and condescending. They don't need us to have a holier-than-thou attitude. They don't need us to say, I told you so. That's what was going to happen. They don't need us to be all churchy with them. I want to tell you what they need. They need to see the heart of Christ in us. Do you remember the verse of Scripture? And I think I even quoted this maybe Sunday or last Wednesday one. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. Amen. Now I want to tell you something. These kids adults, whatever, that are messed up on this stuff, if we had the heart for them that Christ had for us and has for them, we might could see a difference. We might could see a change. But as long as we want to be judgmental, condescending, holier than thou, look down on them, I told you so, and be churchy around them, we're not going to change anything. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to drive them further away. Again, I'm not saying accept the sin. But when we let them know that we love them and that Christ loved them, and that even though they've made the mistakes that they've made, even though they've chosen a path that took them the wrong way, hey, I used to be one of the very ones. Hey, you made your bed, lay in it. That used to be my mindset. And now I look at these kids and I think, how in the world did you mess up your life so bad? But I know somebody that can straighten it out. I can't straighten it out. Over here at Dobson at the Help Center, they can't straighten it out. But Jesus Christ can straighten it out. But I want to tell you something. The other things that are happening around us in our world, they go after those situations. They go out and either, there's some places that are trying to help, and then there's some places who are enabling, and they go after those situations while we, the church, sit back and talk about it. While we, the church, sit back and go, I don't know, if they start coming to church there, that could be trouble. You ever thought that? You ever said that? Ooh, that crowd's rough. I don't know. I've heard one or two of Alan's stories, and Alan used to be rough. Right? He could be rough. He might still get rough if he wanted to. But I want to tell you something. We might need him to get rough one of these days. We'll just leave that right there. But if God can change you, and if God can change me, don't you think that he can do something to these kids that's running around out here and right now? Absolutely. He sure can. Hey, I was privileged enough. I was blessed enough that I grew up in a house that I heard the word of God from the time I was able to hear and understand it. I've told you before, I went to church 9 months before I was born. And I've been so blessed with that. You know what? Not everybody's had that opportunity. Not everybody knows what that is. And then there's some that they've been exposed to church some, but they never had that relationship with God. But we as a church, instead of being judgmental, condescending, I told you so, holier than thou, and churchy, we should show them the heart of Christ. You know, I love Alan now. Alan's one of the best guys that I know. Man, he's got a heart as big as this church. If he can do anything for you, he'll do it, I guarantee you. I don't know if I'd have known Alan before now if I would have loved him like that. I don't know if I would have liked him. I don't know if I'd have come in and grabbed his hand and went to hug him, because I might have got a big fist right in the face. I don't know. And I'm picking on Alan. I really don't know how rough Alan was. I just know some of his stories. But the thing of it is this world needs us to love them before they become the finished product, before they meet Christ, before they have an opportunity to let Christ do a change in them and a work in them. They need us to show the heart of Christ, because God loved us before we were saved. I'm going to tell you something. We need to love this world before Christ changes them, because that's what's going to change them. They need to see the mercy of Christ in us. I've been around a time or two when things have happened, and man, it was because of some bad situations. And even Autumn and I have had discussions of, how in the world would you let this happen? Or how in the world could you ever forgive somebody? Or how in the world could you get to where you could get past that? But I want to tell you something. That we as the church, we need to have mercy and grace and forgiveness like God had mercy, grace, and forgiveness for us. And you say, well, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm following you on this one. Well, the thing of it is it was mentioned earlier about a young man who had been clean for a year and turned away, whatever you want to call it, having issues, okay? Careful, if we're not careful as a church, you want to know what our first thought is? I figured so. I knew it would happen. That's what our first thought is. Our first thought is, oh well, look like he's going back to it. Instead of our first thought being, God, no. What can we do to help him? Something turned him from this way to this way. Something can turn him from this way back to this way, or her, or whoever it is. But you want to know what that something is? That's Christian people who have the heart of Christ, who have mercy like Christ did, who have forgiveness like Christ, instead of being going, "Nah, I about figured that's what was going to happen." Y'all have never said that? I have. Y'all have never had that thought? I have. But I want to tell you, we're not going to make a difference in this world. And it seems like it's been very evident in the day and time that we live in. Man, I know that you're not supposed to speak negative, and there is power in the words that we say. I believe that with all of my heart. But man, I pray all the time, God, help me get my three raised without them making stupid decisions. Because a couple of stupid decisions can really mess up your whole life really quick. God, help me get all three of them raised without them falling into some of these traps that's out there. But you know what? I shouldn't be just worried about my three. I should be worried about your two and yours and yours and yours. And we should bind together to take care of what's here at Fellowship and in our households. But there's also kids all up and down this road that need us. And I don't know that we're reaching them right now. I'm not chewing y'all out. I'm not chewing me out. I'm just saying maybe we need to get a vision. Maybe we need to get a purpose. Maybe we need to get something, and sometimes God can put stuff on somebody else's heart and not mine, and we can all get behind each other and rally. But I believe that there is a true need of a church that has a heart, of a church that has mercy, instead of Christians who feel judgmental, condescending, "I told you so. I'm glad I'm so holy. I'm glad that I'm churchy." But we need to have the heart of Christ. We need to have the mercy of Christ. Let's keep reading for just a minute, because I want to show you what it leads to. "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?'" Because they had love, compassion, time to give to this man. Now, I realize that, man, it was all, God worked a miracle and got their attention. But it happened because they had love, compassion, and time to stop and talk to the guy. Now everybody else is paying attention to what's going on. Verse number 13, look what Peter begins to tell them. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Because they had time, compassion, and was willing to stop and give the man more than he was expecting, they got to share Jesus with him. See, our thing is, we want to go out here, we want to knock on a door and hand somebody a little track and go, "Jesus loves you." And we want to turn around and go, "God, I done it. Boy, I've been a light. God, I'm awesome." Well, that's good to give a track. And it's good to go tell somebody that Jesus loves them. But how about showing them that you love them a little bit too? How about if I show them that I love them a little bit too? I tell you, if we have the mercy in the heart of Christ, I believe that one day God will give us the opportunity to give them Jesus. Sometimes it takes a little bit of work and a little bit of effort on our part. Hey, maybe God is just kicking me right in the side of the head tonight and saying, "Look, guy, you need to get a vision. You need to get a purpose. There's work that needs to be done besides getting up and preaching on Sunday morning. And maybe I'm giving it to y'all so y'all can help me pray about it and y'all can get behind me and we can rally. But we're going to let God lead us in it, whatever it is. We're going to let God lead in it." But I believe that when it comes and God shows us exactly what we're supposed to do, I believe we can make a difference. Aren't you sick and tired of seeing young lives taken because Satan is running just rampant out here? Aren't you sick and tired of seeing young lives destroyed, bad decisions making? Hey, just today we was around a place and there were some people there and you could tell they had some issues. And you look deep in their eyes and you go, "You know what? That's somebody's baby. That's somebody's little girl. That's somebody's little boy. And I've got something on the inside of me that can fix that. I can't fix it, but Jesus can." Y'all help me pray. Y'all help me seek God for direction. Let's not be a church that's just a church. Let's be a church that's impacting other people, that's going out into a lost and dying world and having the heart of Christ, having the love of Christ, having the mercy and the forgiveness of Christ. And if we'll show all that to somebody, we will get an opportunity to give them Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. God, I pray, dear Father, dear Lord, I feel like you're working on my heart, God, with this. And God, I always want to follow your leadership in everything that I do. God, I know if you're leading us and we're following you, that everything will be done just right. But God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll help us to see how to impact. So many situations we look at and we say that they're hopeless. But the man at the beautiful gate was hopeless until he found Christ. And God, I pray that you'll help us to be what you'd have us to be, to point others to the cross of Christ, to give you glory. And God, help us to be a place that we're not worried about being churchy or holy or anything else. But God, if it requires us getting down in the ditch and showing somebody love that they may find you, I pray that you'll give us that kind of love, that kind of time, and that kind of effort and caring about us, God. God, thank you for everybody that's here tonight. God, I do pray for all of these requests that was made known. God, there's a few special ones on our heart tonight that you know all about. And God, we need you to work in a mighty way. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.